Well, I do want to take the time to thank the congregation and the elders here for putting on this lectureship. It is always a wonderful time to come together and to study the Word of God and to hear some excellent men present the Word of God. There is nothing better, nothing greater than to be able to study the Word of God and then to strive to apply it. That is what we need to do. I must make mention the reason that Jack does not have that manuscript is because about a day or two before I was supposed to have it in, my hard drive died. And all of those months of work that I'd put in and was just ready to go in and put it in outline form and then write the manuscript was gone. And I didn't have it anymore. You know, that just kind of makes you miss those days when a hard drive was a long, bumpy road in a Jeep pickup. Incidentally, that manuscript is almost complete, Jack. One of these days, I'll try to get that finished when I get home. I'm kind of like a lot of the other speakers. This is one of those lessons when I got that topic. I looked at that and I said, what am I going to do with that? And that's why it took me so many months to get that far. But at any rate, the topic for the lesson this evening is God, or this afternoon, is God the source of all law. And when we stop to consider that, I like to go and back and define terms a lot of the times, and this is one of those times where I thought it was necessary to define the terms that we have within the title. The term of source is simply beginning, where it comes from. And so the source is talking about the beginning or where the law actually comes from. And God, of course, is that source. Now, the second one is all. And that, quite frankly, means it doesn't leave anything out. If you take all the horses in Jamesport, there's none left. You know, that's every single horse that you have in Jamesport. And so all does not leave anything out. And so when you go back and consider God, the source of all law, that does not leave anything out. All the laws that we have actually come from a source. Now we'll look as we consider this topic about the fact that sometimes people mess up some of the laws that God has given. That does not take away from the source. And so we need to recognize that as we consider this topic. The last term that I want to define is law. Law is simply a rule of conduct or action prescribed or formally recognized as binding or enforced by a controlling authority. Now, obviously, the law or the controlling authority that we're considering here is God in this particular context. And so God is that controlling authority. He is the beginning. He is the source of all law. And so when we consider that, we can go back to the Word of God and see how that God is the source or the beginning. Now, obviously, as we consider this, we're looking at it from the standpoint that we believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures. There may be some that will view this lesson on the Internet, and maybe they need to go back and study the inspiration of the Scriptures before they look at some of these things. But as we stand here today, I believe that we all can understand that the Word of God is inspired. It comes from Him, it is reliable, and we can go to the bank with whatever it says. And so we will look at this lesson from that standpoint this afternoon. Well, we can see God as the source as we look at the Word of God. Go with me, if you would, back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. The very first law that God gave to man can be found in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it thou shalt surely die." That's a law that came from God, the source. God gave that law, and God expected that law to be obeyed. He is the controlling force. He is the one that made. He is the one that created. And certainly, by that we understand, or should understand, that He has the right to expect obedience to the laws that He has given. And so therefore we can see God as that source back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. We might drop down to chapter 4 and we'll see, even though some of the laws are not stated early on, I believe it's very clear that those individuals in them early times understood that there was laws, that there were guidelines that they were expected to follow. And I believe very clearly we can see that in the example of Cain and Abel. In Cain and Abel, we see beginning in verse 3, it says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth." That means he was very angry, "and his countenance fell." Cain was upset. He didn't like the fact that God did not receive his offering. Now, you know what? We may argue the point, but I don't think it stands up any way, shape, or form that Cain was doing the best that he knew. I believe, as we look at the passages in Hebrew chapter 11, that we can understand that Abel offered by faith. Do you know what it means to offer by faith? That means that you offer it based on the information that you've been given, and you do it according to that information. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so when Abel offered by faith, he offered according to the law of God. When Cain offered the offering that he brought, he did not offer according to faith, and he did it contrary to the will of God, the law of God. Because God's the source. God is the one that you and I are to obey. God is the one that you and I are to give in to, and so was Cain. But I tell you what, you can kind of see what happened, but his countenance fell in verse 5. He was upset. That shows kind of what happens when we don't obey the law. You know, it's kind of like, I was talking to a sheriff deputy here a while back, and he was talking about lawbreakers. And he said, you know what, you can kind of tell who's guilty a lot of the times because they're afraid to look you in the eye. You know what? And I just kind of imagine that Cain had a hard time looking God in the eye, so to speak. He was scared to death. He was paranoid because he knew that he was doing that which was wrong. In verse 6, "And the Lord said to Cain, Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well," if thou doest well, very clearly, that's saying, look, Cain, if you do what I told you, God had told him. If you do what I told you, according to my law, the source, God, if you do as thou, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. God gave a law. Cain paid the consequences for breaking that law. The law began with simply worship God as God has prescribed. One thing grew to another, and because of disobedience, another sin came on. The sin of murder, along with the sin of hate. What a shame. But that's the way it works. Well, God had said, and Cain chose to not obey. God is the source. Now, as we go back a little bit further, in the Old Testament, it's important, I think, to understand that God is the source of all law. Often, I think we look at the laws as coming through Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. But I think as we look at the examples such as Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 through 24, it seems within the context that Balaam was certainly not an Israelite. But Balaam was in contact with God. Now, that's what we term as the patriarchal age. Balaam seems to be a Gentile. But God is in communication with Balaam, and Balaam seems to understand that he's got to listen to God, because who is the source of all law? God is the one that is the source of all law, and he is the one wherewith we have to do, wherewith we have to obey. And so we must remember that. This is the patriarchal age. You know, the nation's laws throughout the world. You look at all of those laws, and it's very clear and very easy to understand that they originally came from God. Now, I mentioned early on that just because somebody takes a law and defiles it does not mean that the source did not actually originate with God. Now, a nation may say that sexuality is okay. Does that make it okay? No. The original law is that homosexuality is sin. It's wrong. Just because man defiles a law does not mean that God is not the original source of the law that we actually have. Perversion is normal in our society, as it has been in every society since Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve perverted the law that God had given them. Actually, Satan said not instead of will. And Adam and Eve gave in to that from him. Well, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, we see where those are calling good evil and evil good. And we see that Israel fell from the law that God had given them. They didn't obey it. God is the source. God is the one where we are to go, and no other. We don't have a right to go anywhere else. We need to understand that the basic laws that we have in society, laws such as don't kill, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't take another's husband or wife, these are standard. They are normal from one nation to another. And yes, there are perversions. But when you go back to the Word of God, you find out that these laws, all of these, came from the very beginning. They came from God as the source. Now, even though we do not see many of these laws written out early on, I believe they certainly understood them. Just because God did not reveal to us everything that He said to these individuals doesn't mean that they didn't understand. From the beginning, one husband and one wife, isn't that what Jesus said? He sure did. Isn't that kind of what Adam and Eve understood? Yeah, they understood that. And so all of these things are in that. But these laws that we have came from God. The nation's laws very clearly, I believe, lay that out. They are universal to all nations in this world in which we live. Well, now when we stop and consider this, I think it's also, at least in my mind, I felt it important to understand that God is the source of all law. But within the realm of law, I believe that it's important to bring it into the scope of God is the source of all dominion. Within the realm of law, God is the one that puts into power rulers and takes rulers out of power. Now, we might look at some of the rulers in the world and we'll say, well, you know, how could God do that? Well, I do not understand the providence of God. And note that I'm saying the providence. I believe that God's providence is still alive and well today. It has nothing to do with miraculous. It is just simply God's care and God's control over the universe. God's in charge. How He does it? It's only within His providence. And that is certainly within the realm of the Word of God. But we see God from the very beginning who has control over the nations. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16. Now, God didn't say within this context, all right, I'm in charge of what's going on, but He insinuated, I believe, very clearly. God, talking to Abraham, said, but in the fourth generation, they, speaking of the Israelites who were in bondage, they shall come hither again for, because this is the reason, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, they have not filled up the immorality, the ungodly deeds that God is going to allow, because He is the source of all rule, of all law, of all dominion. They hadn't filled that up yet. I don't really know where God draws the line and says, okay, this nation, I can't stomach it anymore. But we do see that God came to that point with these nations that were in the land of Canaan. And we do also see that God was at this particular point in Genesis chapter 15, not ready to put them down. Not ready to bring them to an end. Let me tell you something. That shows God's control. That shows very clearly, I believe, that God is in power. And He's in charge. And so, therefore, He is the source. Remember, God brought them down. Let's go a little bit further. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar. If you would, turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. And here again, we can see that God is in control. In chapter 25 and verse 9, it says, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. God used Nebuchadnezzar to bring about His desired end. You see, His people were not obeying His law. They were not obeying His rule, and He was in control. Now, note also that Nebuchadnezzar was certainly not a godly man. In fact, we'll find later on that God brought Nebuchadnezzar down because of the cruelties that he had been involved in. God is the source. God's in charge. Even though we may wonder at times why certain ones are allowed to go on. But we still must understand that we need to put our trust in God and allow God to deal in His providence however it is that He needs to deal. In verse 12 of Jeremiah chapter 25, it says, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans and will make it a perpetual desolations, which he brought about. And so who is the source? Who is really in charge? Who's in power? Well, now, people at that time would say, well, Nebuchadnezzar's in power. But you see, Nebuchadnezzar really wasn't in power. God was the source. God was the one that was ruling. God was the one that was in charge. God, just as He did to Pilate in John chapter 19:11, God allowed him to have power. In Acts chapter 11, or chapter 17 and verse 26, we see this portrayed, I believe, very clearly when the Apostle Paul was speaking. And speaking about God, he says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And so who's the source? Who's the source of all power? Who is the source of all law? It's not you or me. We may think that we can do great things in life, but who's really in charge? God is the one that determines. God is the one that raises up as He did Nebuchadnezzar. God is the one that raises up as He did Israel. God is the one that raises up. And God is the one that brings down. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? Did not God bring Nebuchadnezzar down? He certainly did. And why was it that he brought them down? Because of their iniquities. Do not confuse people's mistakes and sins with the fact that God is still in charge. Does not God still continue to allow you and me to exist? And how many of us here, other than the infants, have not let God down from time to time? And so God allows ungodly people to exist also. But that does not mean that God is not in charge, but God brings down. Now, when we look at that within that context, that's important, I believe, to understand that these individuals, these powers, will give account of how they use that power and apply God's rule. Let me tell you, I believe that that's very clear as we look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had to give account. He was brought down because of it. Remember the time when he put himself up and said, "Hey, look how good I've done. Look what all I've accomplished." And then he ate with the cattle for a long time. Who's really in charge? Who's really the source? God's the source. God's the one with whom we will have to give an account. You go back to John chapter 19 and verse 11 from which we have the text. And in this trial of Jesus, we remember that the ruling class of Israel brought Jesus to Pilate. And the reason they brought him to Pilate was because they didn't have authority to kill him. Pilate had that authority to crucify him. Pilate was just kind of this puppet that they were using, the weak-kneed man as he was. And Jesus said to him, "Thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Well, how could that be? Well, I believe, obviously, it's because the Jews were the ones that delivered him. The Jews were the ones that had the prophecies. The Jews were the ones that were looking for him. The Jews were the ones that could see that he is performing these miracles, and he is the one that's got to be the Messiah because he fits into the category. But they were afraid of losing their kingdom and their place in the Roman authority, and so they delivered him up to be crucified. Pilate didn't have any of that. All Pilate does, he sits back and says, "What is truth?" He sees the injustices of the court system. I really believe that that's what he sees. Do we ever see that? I think sometimes we do. But Pilate saw the injustice of it. And Jesus said, "You don't have the greater sin. In essence, you're ignorant." He's just condemning another innocent man. It meant nothing to him. But make no mistake, Pilate will still give an account for disobeying the source of all law. Now, we've looked at all of this. We've looked at within the realm of the source of all law, in the realm of the beginning from the beginning of time. We brought it down and looked at how God is the source of all law and power and dominion in the nations that are around us. Now, let's bring it down to where you and I can understand it, because I believe this is very important. I don't believe any lesson is complete without application. You and I can relate with this kind of power. The brother just ahead of me mentioned it in a way. He talked about the home. Let me tell you something. In our homes, we carry a lot of power. As fathers, we must not provoke our children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I can tell you something. We're going to give an account, fathers, as to how we use that power, how we rule in our home. God's the one, the source of all rule. God's the one, the source of all law. And you and I are going to give an account to Him. And so we must keep that in mind. Same goes with mothers. The same goes with children over one another in the family. You know how that older one has a tendency to want to be overbearing because they're bigger until the littler one gets bigger, and then it changes, doesn't it? But you know what? We better be careful how we use that power and apply that law. Now, what about at work? You know, as servants, and I relate that very clearly to the relationship that employer-employee relationship that we have today in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. How do we use that power? As servants. And then you turn it around and look at the masters in verse 9, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. How do we use that power? How do we use that rule over those that are around us? And then, what about over one another? Let's just put it down into the general, everyday situation. What about over one another? You know, that idea of a stronger personality. Isn't that what happened with the church early on? Or it certainly seems you've got an eldership, and one elder just kind of has a stronger personality. And then it has a tendency to be in charge of the others after a while because, you know, he just kind of gets his way. He's got the way of bringing it across. Let me tell you something. In every walk of life, we've got people that have stronger personalities. How are we using that power? God's the source. And we will give an answer. What about greater physical strength? Might means right? Ah, come now. Whatever we have, we're going to give an account for. Are we using that law properly? What about more money? What about more influence? All of those things come into play where we have a certain amount of power, and God is the source. God is the one that has given us the opportunity and the abilities that we have. And we must be very careful how we use those things because God will bring them into judgment. Be careful how you use what you have. What about in the church? Elders have a great responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we must recognize that God is the source of the law. God is the source of this ruling power that they have to shepherd the flock. He says in verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And so, what about that rule? No, it is not on a national basis. But it's still God's law. God put it into place, and we will give an account. Deacons, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, he talks about looking out and finding honest and wise men to take on this great work that must be done. Well, how do they use that? Now, what about the deacons today? How do the deacons today use that office that they have been entrusted with? And then there's the teachers of the Word of God. What a grave responsibility. You see, God is the source. God is the one that's given the ability. God is the one that has given the opportunities. And we must understand, as it says in James chapter 3 and verse 1, that be not many masters, or rather teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He's not saying don't teach. He's just saying you better study and make sure you do what's right. Be careful of that power that you wield over the servants, over the students. We have a great responsibility. And what about preachers? I'll tell you something. As a preacher of the gospel, I've learned that it comes with an awesome responsibility. I've never been an elder or a deacon. But I tell you what, I've taken on the scary role of preacher. I'll tell you, it's tough. And I fear, and especially in congregations where we do not have godly men that serve as elders and shepherd the flock, we've got a tough job. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're in that situation like I am, you better be careful. Because God's the source. And God expects you and I to take on that burden and that responsibility with great emphasis, an understanding that we need to give an account to God. We need to understand that you and I are not allowed to make rules for God. I live in that Amish community, and because of my background in that Amish community, I have a tendency to think about that an awful lot. I grew up that way. My father studied with the Mennonite people in the community, and I heard him quote that passage in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9 many times. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What is that but more than just going beyond the law of God, not following His rule? And we must be very careful. And I believe that as members of the church, we still need to be very careful to make sure that we don't find things that are not bound by God, because God is the source. God is the one with whom we will have to do, and we will have to give an account. And we must keep that in mind. We have a grave responsibility. We need to remember that your rules and mine turn people from the truth. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says it very clearly, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. I started talking with some of the Amish neighbors in town, and I've started something new because I have to be very careful how I deal with them, because they will make everybody turn off and I won't have any opportunity to teach. But I've asked their leaders, I said, can you show me in the Bible where you have the right and responsibility to bind these traditions? I knew what I was going to get before I went. The first person said, well, you need to go talk to Bishop so-and-so. And of course, after 2 hours of studying with him, he said, I'm sorry, I just don't understand. I don't know. I don't know where it teaches it. He said, you need to go talk to somebody else. And I know that they're going to have the same thing. The problem is, we're going beyond God's law, and if you can't find it in here, it's not God's law. Stand on what it says. Don't go beyond and don't stop short in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Isn't that so clear? Don't add to, don't take away. Stand on the Word of God. Be careful how you use the power that you have been given. Find what God says. Speak as the oracles of God. Speak where God speaks. And be silent where God is silent. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 2, or rather 1 Corinthians, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I do not know what position, what power you hold in life, whether you have a stronger personality, whether you have more power, whether you have more money, whether you have are an elder in a local congregation, or a deacon, or a teacher, or a preacher, or whatever it is that you have. You are a steward of what you have been given. Are you using it for God? And are you using it according to the source of all law? Thank you.